In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Happy Epiphany and happy last day of Christmas. You may feel free to chuck your Christmas tree out on the curb now. And if you've chucked it out before today, see me after church and I'll excommunicate you. Christmas is 12 days. It begins on the 25th and it concludes today. So happy Epiphany. Today we remember the arrival of the Magi at Bethlehem, who came to worship him who was born King of the Jews. Astute observers will have observed the Magi arriving indeed during the procession this morning at the beginning of the service. They are now here at the creche in the church. They have arrived. They bring with them gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold fit for a king, frankincense representing the prayers offered to the deity, and myrrh for the anointing of Christ at his burial. We take our word magi in English directly from Latin, where it is the plural form of magus, or magician. The Latin word magus is itself a transliteration of a Greek word, magos, which comes into Greek from the language of the Persians. And in Persian, it was a category of clergy, of religious profession in that culture, the Persian culture. Magi spent a good deal of their energies studying the stars and were apt to notice rare planetary movements and so forth. There was, a few years ago, a book written by an astronomer named John Moseley called The Christmas Star. In this book, Moseley relates his research into the astronomical phenomena around the time of Christ's birth. Interestingly, to me at least, Moseley has found, with the help of computers and whatnot, that sometime around 2 or 3 BC, there was a series of astronomical events that would have been noticed by such astrologers as the Magi, the wise men, likely were. Specifically, on the morning of August the 12th, 3 BC, there occurred a rare conjunction of what we call Venus and Jupiter that would have been particularly noteworthy to astrologers from the east. The conjunction happened in the constellation Leo, next to the star Regulus. Leo was the constellation considered by the Persians to relate to the fate of the Jewish people. Jupiter was the king planet to the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Babylonian name for the star Regulus was Sharu, the king in that language. Venus was known to them as Ishtar, named after not the movie with Warren Beatty, but the chief goddess of the Babylonians, and represented femininity to them. Therefore, Magi, studying the heavens on the morning of August the 12th, 3 BC, would have seen the king planet converge with the queen planet next to the star called Sharu, the king star, in the constellation Leo, which governed the fate of the Jews. But then on September 14th of 3 BC, a month later, Jupiter moved past Regulus and then appeared to stop and move back, crossing Regulus again on February the 17th in the year 2 BC. And then a third time on May the 8th, it did it again. Moved back and forth. This phenomenon is a real phenomenon in astronomy. It's called retrograde motion, and it is caused because the Earth, which is closer to the sun, orbits the sun faster than the outer planets do. And so from our point of view, those planets can seem to stop and move backward and then go forward again. That's called retrograde motion in astronomy. Finally, on June the 17th in 2 BC, Jupiter and Venus again came into conjunction near Regulus and the constellation Leo once again. And this time the conjunction was so close, according to computer models, that they would have appeared to the naked eye to be a single, very bright, shining star until they set in the west towards Bethlehem, as seen from the east, from Babylon. Were these conjunctions the astronomical events that led the Magi from the east to Bethlehem seeking the King of the Jews? There's no way to know for sure, but it seems rather likely. Whatever led them, the fact is that they set out on a long journey looking for the Christ, led ultimately by God. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. The Magi have been venerated by Christians from day one, but there is a spiritual lesson for us in the story of the Magi. First of all, they had open hearts. You have to have an open and a trusting heart to set out from your home, from the familiar place where you feel comfortable and safe, Babylon in their case, to allow yourself to be goaded on by divine providence into the unknown, and to begin a long and sometimes difficult and painful search for God's salvation, the search for Jesus, even though they didn't know it. The Magi were open to the truth, though they didn't know what the truth would turn out to be, but they were open to God's leading. And they were willing to risk everything when the truth was revealed to them. It's important to remember that they didn't have interstate highways in those days, and taking a long journey meant taking your life into your own hands often. There were brigands, there was a danger from weather, you had to camp out, there was no Quick Trip or Exxon, service stations to fill up your camels and get a, big bucket of tea, and those kinds of things. It was dangerous to travel long distances in those days. The Magi spoke God's truth to all whom they met. Notice that as well. Including Herod, who tried out of pettiness and fear to sabotage the plan of God's salvation. But the Magi were guided by God's truth, and they spoke God's truth. And they were led to Jesus, to salvation itself, to salvation himself. And they bore witness to him with their gifts and with their speaking of the truth. And they worshipped him as God. One time, at least, God called me to go and tell somebody an unpleasant truth. Some of you have probably had meetings with people like that, a meeting that you dreaded, a meeting you would rather not have, but you know it's your duty to go and speak some truth to someone who doesn't want to hear it, to someone who won't hear it, you know in advance. But you know also that you have a duty to go. You know you have a duty to tell them something unpleasant that's true, come what may. That's the situation I was in some years ago. I took the train from New Haven to Boston for this meeting, and man, was I dreading it. I was dreading seeing this guy and telling him something that I knew he wasn't going to listen to. I was, in a sense, following a star, following my sense of duty to bear witness to what was true. I got out my prayer book that morning on the Acela train and settled in to read morning prayer, as I do every morning, wherever I am. For those of you who don't know, if you read morning prayer and evening prayer every day from the prayer book, you will read the whole Bible, or the vast majority of it at least, in the course of a year, or 2 years if you follow the modern lectionary. I was following the modern lectionary at that time. So this was the first reading for morning prayer that morning. Listen to this reading. This is what I opened my Bible and read at morning prayer this morning. The reading appointed that comes up every 2 years. So it's a 1 in 700 or something chance that this reading would come up this morning. And it came up when I was heading for this dreadful meeting. From Ezekiel. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, go, get you to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but you are sent to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech. Surely if I sent you to many peoples of foreign speech, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel are of a hard forehead and of a stubborn heart. But behold, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads. Like adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear not them, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house." Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, All my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and go, get you to your people and say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. There's a lot of truth in that, a lot of truth for me. You can ask Kate about my adamantine forehead that's hard against all foreheads. Like the Magi, I knew what I had to do. I had to go to set out in obedience to the truth. How did I know it was God telling me to go and not indigestion or something? I knew because it was the right thing to do. You can always know that God wants you to do what is right. You can feel the compulsion of duty in your guts as well. And even as for the Magi, lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The voice of God which I discerned telling me to go to that wretched meeting in Boston, the voice of God and his truth went before me, and it came to rest with the reading of morning prayer that morning. And I was vindicated in the end, for what it's worth, after a lot of hand-wringing and second-guessing. It took several years, but I was vindicated. Or rather, God was vindicated, and everybody could see it. Everybody knew it. Everyone could see that I was bearing witness to the truth, including the guy that I met with that morning. The point is, if you are open to God's call, if you search earnestly with an open heart for his truth, not prepossessing what the outcome will be, he will always lead you to his salvation, which means that he will lead you to Jesus Christ. It probably won't be easy. In fact, if it is easy, you're probably doing something wrong. But God is faithful, and he will bring you to the salvation which is yours in Christ. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.